Good morning. There are some people who are incapable of really letting go and enjoying themselves. We all sort of feel sorry for them. And then there are normal people who know how to go enjoy a party, have a great time, leave at a reasonable time, and go home. And we feel good about those folks. And then there are folks who are simply sort of addicted to partying and don't know when to quit. They never go home. The party will still be at 3 a.m. if they have anything to say about it. That's us. That's us as a parish. It's also us as a denomination. We don't want to let go of a party. For 50 days, we've celebrated Easter. Last week we celebrated Pentecost. The Easter season is over and done with. We go back to ordinary time. Except we're not ready to stop partying. So we cook up a couple of additional feasts to add to the schedule. Trinity Sunday today, Corpus Christi Sunday next week, in order to keep the party going a little bit longer. Joe stopped me on the way into church and said, "We are doing a Gloria this morning, aren't we?" Keep the party going. Except that when you have a party for Trinity Sunday, it can get a little complicated. What do you say about the Trinity? You begin to talk about the inner life of God. And there are certain sort of doctrinal guideposts to go by. Three persons, one nature, things like that. But when you start trying to explain it, any, you rapidly reach a wall. The other side of which is nothing but confusion. There are some beautiful metaphors worked out by various theologians and mystics over the centuries. And they produce a great deal of thought, feeling. But they seem to be leading you deeper and deeper into the whirlwind. And ultimately your understanding of the whole thing just sort of went somewhere. Simpler, perhaps. Perhaps not as noble, but perhaps more useful because we can follow it. Is to give up looking at the life of God within God and look at the life of God within us. Look at the Trinity as we pray, believe, live the Trinity. It doesn't help us answer any of the great metaphysical questions, but it does provide some solid substance to who we are, how we live as Christians. Look at your prayer life. The old law in the church, the law of praying is the law of believing. You want to see what a person or a community is really about? Look at their prayer. If you go back 50 years, probably the most common form of prayer in the Catholic Church, in most parts of the world at least, was the Rosary, which had a ratio of 10 Hail Marys for every Our Father, which made it very clear that the predominance of our prayer was to the Blessed Mother. There was, in addition to that, of course, a number of other prayers. To various saints for various purposes. Saint so-and-so was the patron for this, and Saint so-and-so was the patron for that. And then if you got into the prayer book tradition, there were more and more prayers, most of them of Victorian era, and most of them beginning, "Dear Jesus." So we prayed very sentimentally to Jesus. And the general tenor of those prayers was something like the common pictures of Jesus from the day, which were Jesus as the Good Shepherd with the lamb around his shoulders, or Jesus with the children, all of whom looked disturbingly middle-class American, upper-middle-class American. Nothing doctrinally wrong with any of that. We certainly do pray to Jesus Christ. And we pray to Mary and the saints as we celebrate All Saints, All Souls Day here every November. We remind ourselves of the communion of saints, that we're all a part of this very large family that stands together before God, and that we pray for each other and to each other on a constant basis. But it was perhaps a little bit out of balance if you compare it with the great liturgical tradition of the church, which of course we didn't, because that was in Latin and we didn't read Latin. But now that it's in English and most of us understand a smattering of that language, it's constantly in our face. To whom do we pray? We pray to God, the one that Jesus calls Abba. Almost all of our prayers are addressed to God. It's a very theocentric religion. There are prayers in the sacramentary that are addressed to Christ, and prayers in the sacramentary addressed to the Holy Spirit. Most of them come from a rather later layer, Baroque era additions to the sacramentary. You go back to the great old sacramentaries, there are fewer and fewer such prayers. All the great old liturgical prayers are addressed to God. To God, through Christ, in the Spirit. That's the way the prayers are structured. It's the way the solemn conclusion ends to the opening prayer and the closing prayer. And most importantly, that's the way the great prayer, the Eucharistic prayer, ends. Through Him, with Him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Through Christ, in the Spirit, to God. That's how we pray. Our prayers are addressed to God. They're addressed through Christ. They're addressed in the Spirit. They're addressed to the God who is our Father, who is the source and ground of our being, who is our mother, who is the source of our nurturing, who calls us and helps us to grow. They're to the God who is not only the source of our being, but the goal of our being. All that is comes from God. All that is returns to God. For 13.7 billion years, this world has been patiently evolving towards God. God is its source. God is its destination. We pray to God. We pray through Christ. Christ is the Word of God, the incarnate Word of God, the Word that we can not only listen to but see. We pray as disciples of Christ who understand who God is and who we are by seeing and hearing who Jesus is. We pray in the Spirit because the Spirit is our true link to Christ. Now that He has been crucified, raised up, and exalted to God's right hand, He's not here. He's in our hearts. He's in the Spirit that dwells within us, that prays within us and for us, that, as Paul says, cries out from the depths of our hearts when we ourselves do not know how to pray. The Spirit that cries out for us, Abba. So we pray to God through Christ in the Spirit. And we live the same way. The structure of our prayer is the structure of our belief. The structure of our belief is the structure of our life. We're disciples. Disciples of Jesus. Disciple is one who learns. Listen, watch, say, and do. Speak what you have heard. Do what you have seen. Learn, and then proclaim. And so we do. We learn who God is from Jesus, and then we go out there and live that God. We make the kingdom of that God our passion, our priority, our program in the world. We find ourselves joined in a vision that comes from Christ. A vision of who God is and a vision of who we are and who our world can be. We find ourselves joined in that Holy Spirit that dwells in your heart and mine, and therefore makes us brothers and sisters, therefore makes us allies and co-workers, therefore gives us a common mission and a common goal. So we live as we believe, and we believe as we pray, from God to God, through Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.